Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4, in your Schofield Bible, page 1260. Beginning with the eighth verse, we'll read responsively through verse 13 from Philippians 4, verses 8 through 13. We'll read responsively, and the 11th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And let's stand for the reading of this passage, please. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let's pray. And Father, we thank you over and over again for a book that's rock solid. We thank you for thy word. We thank you that in thee we have life eternal. But it's wonderful to come Sunday by Sunday and to be reminded of certain things. Some things will never grow old. And we, of course, not only enjoy, but we need to be reminded of many of the things that have to do with thy promises and thy word. And we come to likewise be refreshed in thy word. Bless, we pray, the preaching of it this morning. Help our hearts to be hungry. Help our minds to be alert. Give us attentiveness unto the man of God. Thank you for speaking to our preacher, and thank you that he gives to us what you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, Know Thyself. Before I preach, may I ask you, are you still too warm? Raise your hand if you're too warm. Looks like we're pretty comfortable. And I want to read for you. You don't need to turn to it, but I want to read for you again. The Apostle Paul said, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message today, not just to our inspiration, but to our help and our strength and to a richer life for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I am confident this morning that you can be helped if you will listen to what's going to be said. I am not confident that I'll preach a great sermon because I make no pretense of being a great preacher. But I do have a great book, and that book is full of great truths. And I'm going to give you this morning one of the greatest truths of that book, Know Thyself. Before I bring this message, let me tell you that I do not always practice this. I try to. Somebody said one time, you always practice what you preach? I said, man, did you ever try that? That's awful hard to do. No, I don't always practice what I preach, but I always try to practice what I preach. The Bible never said preach what I practice. The Bible said preach the word. And so I'm going to preach the word, and I try to practice it. And most of the time, I practice what I'm going to preach this morning. Now, did you ever dawn on you that Brother Hiles has to stay in a good mood most all the time? I mean, I used to think about my mother. I'd cry and she'd wipe my tears, and I'd wonder, I wish I was like mother so I never would have any problems. And little did I know that my mother had to work on herself to stay in such a good mood. I must be on top side nearly all the time. I cannot walk in this pulpit and discourage you bring you into a melancholy kind of state of mind. My job is to come in here and encourage you and let you know that God is still on his throne. I have to come back tonight, and I can't. Of course, I plan to get right with God before tonight, but I have to come back tonight, and I can't come dragging in here tonight and be down and discouraged, and I can't help you if I do that. I have counseling sessions every week. People whom I counsel, they come in, they need me to be on top side. I've got to be on top side all the time. Doesn't matter what kind of burden I carry, it doesn't matter what kind of load I have, doesn't matter what kind of heartache that I may have, I've got to be on top side. I have weddings. I can't walk in here in a wedding and say, folks, pray for me, I'm sort of down tonight. You got to pray for me. Of course, I always get down when I see a fellow committing marriage. But I can't walk in here and say, folks, I'm a little down. I hope you can encourage my heart in this wedding ceremony. And I can't do that. This last week, for example, this has been my guided tour week. Monday, most of the day, I spent with the high school and junior high young people, about 30, 32 or 33 contest winners. And we went to the Sears Tower, and we went to the Sherman House Hotel, Palmer House, Sherman House. You let me preach the sermon, Lane. I'll preach the sermon. Palmer House Hotel to eat, and they went bowling and so forth. And most of the kids had their mind in the gutter all the way while they were bowling. And that's not bad for a dollar. It's all you paid for. You don't expect the Red Skelton for a dollar. Then that's Monday all day. Then Monday night, I had, by the way, I couldn't walk in there on bottom side. I had to be on top side when I was with those young people. I was on bottom side when I got through with them after the day. But then that night, I took the beginners and primaries who won the Sunday school contest and took them out. We went, we ate and went to an indoor amusement park. And don't you believe any rumors you hear about me getting stuck in the slide. Don't you believe any rumors about that now. No, I didn't get stuck. I got some butter and greased myself, went right on through it. But I couldn't say to the boys and girls, hello, boys and girls, for the house is down and I got a burden and a heartache. No, they expected me to be on top side. It had been a long time since the little boy had come to me and said, could you take me to the potty? I hadn't been a long, long, long time since that had happened. I can't tell you how I felt. But I shouldn't have said that, should I? But anyway, that's better than David Gibbs says. But would you tie my shoe? And so forth. But I had to be on top side. Then on Tuesday, I spent the day with the juniors. And we went to Sears Tower, and we went to the Museum of Science and Industry, and went to an ice cream place. Well, every place to me is an ice cream place. But they expected me to be on top side. Now, then, by the way, on Thursday morning, bright and early, I caught a plane, flew down to Dallas, and met our adult contest winners in Dallas, and I showed them the place of my birth and where Mrs. Howells and I grew up and where our church we attended and where we got married and where we had our fights and so forth. And, of course, that took most of the time. But I showed them. Then we went down to East Texas and showed them the first church I ever preached a sermon at 40-some-odd years ago. But they expected me to be on top side. When I walk out here, you expect Brother Howells to be on top. You don't expect me to come out here and discourage you. You expect me to encourage you. But it so happens that I'm a human being. And human beings all have problems, and they all have heartaches, and I have my share. And I don't have more than you do, but I have my share. So I have to know how to stay on top side all the time. Again, I'm not saying that I always do this, but I'm saying that I always try to do this, and most of the time I succeed. Let me show you the passage that helps me more than any other passage. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'm going to help you. That word content is a very interesting word. It means sufficient within oneself. Paul said, I have learned how to be sufficient within myself. I have learned how to not make circumstances destroy my spirit. I have learned how not to make enemies to destroy my spirit. I have learned how to be happy, sufficient within myself. See, we sing a little song. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Eat your hearts out, choir. But we sing a little song. No, not me. No, my disposition does not depend on you, and your disposition should not depend on me. Our disposition should not depend on each other. Paul said, I have learned. By the way, he didn't say all of a sudden it hit me. I have learned. Paul said, I've made it a science. I have worked at it, and I have learned how to be content within myself, how to be sufficient, as it were, within myself. What he's saying is this. Paul said, I have learned that I have what I need to stay on topside. He said, I have learned that I know what I need to stay on topside. And third, turn me down just a bit, please. And third, he said, I have learned to use what I need to stay on topside. Now listen, every single Christian in this room has within himself the wherewithal to be on topside all the time. Pardon me. And it is within you. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what the disappointments are. What the burdens are, what the heartaches are, you have within you. You know, we don't understand. A couple of verses down, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We detach that verse too much from the context. He's talking here about being contented. He's talking about always being able from the inside to stay on top side. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ. What is he saying? He's saying, I can be happy through Christ in the storm. I can be happy through Christ in the heartache. I have what I need. I can do all things through Christ. When I'm down, I can get up through Christ. When I'm discouraged, I can get encouraged through Christ. When I'm disappointed, I can get happy through Christ. When I'm melancholy, I can have joy through Christ. And he said, I have that all within myself. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And there's no need, Paul said. By the way, Paul wrote this from jail. He was in the jailhouse. And he said, I have learned how to abound and how to be abased. He said, I have learned that within me there is the way to have what I need. And by the way, you have it, but the truth is, most of us never know it. We don't know ourselves. You don't know what makes you happy. I've said this so often. If you ever have a good day, when you get through with the day, write down what you did. Do it again. I had a good day one time. I know what it was. I slept till 10. Mrs. Hiles brought me breakfast in bed. I slept till 2. She brought me lunch in bed. I slept till 6. She brought me supper in bed. I read sport magazine all day long. So anytime I want to have a good day like that again, it's impossible. She won't do it anymore. But you see, by the way, you ladies right now saying, I had a good day one time, went shopping. Hold it, hold it, hold it. That's not what this means here. That's not in the Bible. But what Paul is saying, I have what I need to keep me up, even if I'm in jail. I also know what I need to keep me up. And I also use what I need to keep me up. He said, I am strong enough within myself, because Christ is in me. I'm strong enough within myself for anything that can happen to me, so I can stay on topside, anything that happens to me. Now, folks, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not preaching what I've heard this morning. I'm preaching what I live this morning. You'll have a tough time finding people that find me when I'm down. Now, sometimes I am, but not often. And you have a hard time finding me when I'm not on top side. But I'm not on top side just because it happened that way. I have learned what to do. That's what Paul said. Paul said, when I see a bad day coming, by the way, the word here means to ward off. He said, I've learned to ward off anything bad that comes. I have learned to be content. Paul said, when I see a bad day coming, I know how to ward off that bad day. Paul said, I know how to ward it off. He said, I do what I have to do to ward it off. He said, I have it, I know it, and I use it.
Paul said, when I see backsliding coming. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't need to backslide. You can see it coming. There, folks, right now, you know backsliding is on the way. You slip just a bit. Now, what you ought to do, you ought to know yourself enough to know what you have to do to ward off backsliding. There's no need you'd be led as a lamb to the slaughter. I mean, as you see it, and all of us see it coming, when you see yourself drifting a bit, and the Bible's not what it used to be, all of a sudden you don't enjoy church like you used to, you don't enjoy the songs of God like you once did, and you see backsliding coming, you ought to know yourself. Know what you can do to yourself. That's what Paul is saying. I ward off backsliding. He said, when I see anger coming, I know how to ward it off. Paul said, I'm like a pilot at the controls of an airplane. If I need to go up, I know how to go up. If I need to go down, I know what buttons to push to go down. The tragedy is, and this is so sad, that Christians don't know themselves like the pilot knows the airplane. I mean, he knows the cockpit better than you know yourself. The truth is, you ought to know what makes you happy. You ought to know what makes you sad. And you ought to ward off. Paul said, I cut off things at the pass, and I ward off those things. Now, let me say this. I'm testifying now. I've carefully studied myself. I've carefully studied myself. I know what thoughts get me down. So, I avoid them. I know what thoughts get me down. Consequently, I avoid those thoughts. Folks, why don't you find out what makes you discouraged? Study yourself. The home for retarded people would like to study it. Study yourself. Study yourself. Know thyself. Know what you think about that makes you sad. And find it. Write it down. Keep a record of it. We have Randy Erickson and I meet every Sunday morning. 8 o'clock, right here in this auditorium. He has a book there. That book shows every Sunday for years in the past what the temperature was that Sunday, whether it was sunshiny or raining. It shows where we set the air, we had air conditioner heating. It shows the low temperature for that day, the high temperature for that day, and what the air conditioning and heating was set on for that day. And he has it there, a scientific study. And we find the temperature for today and what the high is going to be for today. Look in that book and find what temperature, what day was about like this. He finds me 3 days about like this. We look at the days in the past. Today, for example, the low, what was the low day, Randy? We're not as scientific as I thought we were. But suppose that I think the low today was about 30, and maybe the high to be about 45. Pretty sure that's right. All right, we had one day that was 33 of a low, and the high was 40. That was pretty close. We had another day where the low was about 32, and the high was 46. That was pretty close. We looked at those and decided where to set the temperature for today, because we know what the history of the temperature in this auditorium is. I refuse to know more about the temperature in this auditorium than I do Jack Fraser High. I refuse to know more about making you comfortable while you sit here than I do about making me happy all the time. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be melancholy. You don't have to be downcast. You don't have to be defeated. There is within you Christ, the hope of glory. And Paul said you ought to study yourself and know yourself and learn yourself so you can always be content. I know what thoughts get me down, so I avoid them. I know what people get me down, so I avoid them. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this. I was down in Texas for the tour of the people. Had to rent a car. I don't know cars. I just know one bad word. It's a dirty four-letter word. F-O-R-D. So I said to the lady there at the budget rent a car, I want to rent a car. She said, what kind? I said, oh, middle-sized car. She said, would a Taurus be all right? I thought a Taurus was a make. Didn't know it was a form of a Ford. And I found out it was a Ford when I had to push it off. But see, folks, I know what people get me down. So I avoid those people. I know what conversations get me down. Look, I've got to be on top side. I've got to walk in here on Sunday morning. I've got to lift you up. I can't lift you up, I'm below you. So I've got to know myself. I've got to know how to get myself on top side, keep myself on top side. I've got to know what thoughts get me down so I can avoid them. And what people get me down so I can avoid them. What conversation gets me down so I can avoid that. What situations get me down. So, please forgive me. I can make a good day anytime I want to. I've got written down in my office how to have a good day. I've got written down. And I've got several ways to have a good day. You know why? Here's you. Boy, this has been a good day. Well, if it's been a good day, write down what you did. Write down what you thought. Write down what you read. Write down where you went. Write down what you talked about. Write down who you're with. And then make another one someday. And then if you've had a bad day, write it down. It may take a lot of paper for all the bad days most of you have. But write it down and avoid it. Paul said, here's Paul. He's in prison. He's not married. Oh, now I know why he was happy. But Paul was in prison. He's not married. He has no children. He's in jail. He's hundreds of miles from home. He's in a country that's not his own. A city that's not his own. In the jailhouse. Down in the dungeon. You ought to see that place. We've been there. You ought to see that dungeon where he was. And Paul was not sitting at the table in Tebow's. He wasn't sitting in a car waiting to get his Big Mac at McDonald's. He wasn't at rallies about to get those delicious French fries down there. Paul wasn't shopping in the mall. Paul was in prison, in jail, alone, forsaken, forgotten, and in jail. And Paul said, bless God, I'm happy. And I say, Paul, why are you happy? He said, because I know how to be happy. I have within me, I have the wherewithal to be happy. How, Paul? I know myself. I know myself. Now, wait a minute. I'll testify again. Suppose I fail. Suppose that I forget to make me a good day. Suppose I forget to ward off. Suppose I forget to detour around the conversation that pulled me down. Suppose I forget to detour around the people that pulled me down. Suppose I forget to detour around the thoughts that pull me down. Suppose I forget to detour around the situation that pull me down. Then I must then know how to get out of it. I've got to know how to pull myself out of my melancholy. First, I've got to know myself to know what keeps me from it. But if I fail then, I've got to know myself enough to know what gets me out of it. Brother Jack Scott said one time to me, after the service one night, he came in the office. He said, preacher, you've made a science out of the Christian life. Well, why shouldn't I? Isn't the Christian life more important than driving a car? They make a science out of making cars. The Christian life more important than the physical body. Make a science out of keeping you well. Why in the name of common sense we spend so much time trying to keep ourselves physically well and so little time trying to keep ourselves emotionally and mentally well? And by the way, that's the reason for a lot of our physical illness too. I'm saying, Paul says, know yourself. Hey, I know how to, if I'm not happy, it's because I failed to do what I know to do. But thank God, I know how to get myself out of it if I've gotten into it. Because I have written down in my office, I have written down things, I pull it out of my file, like a doctor would. I write myself a prescription. You know, I'm 64 years of age. In fact, I'm nearer 65 now than I'm 64. I passed it just the other day. My future's behind me. Look, I haven't got a lot of days left. Now, if I was 25 years old, I could waste a few, but I haven't got any to waste. I don't want to spend my life melancholy or blue or sad. And I want to say to every woman in this church who is melancholy and blue and sad, and every man in this church who's down at the bottom all the time, you don't have to be that way. There is the wherewithal in you to keep you from being down all the time. Most of us dig ourselves a deeper hole when we're in the hole. Now listen carefully to me. We're lonely. So what do? We want to be alone. We're idiots. We're lonely. So what do? Withdraw from people. Folks, if you're lonely, the idea is to get with somebody. I'm not very smart, but I can figure that out. What do? We're selfish, so we go shopping. We're blue, so we grab the telephone and talk to somebody about our problems. Deeper, 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 we dig ourselves. We're backslidden, so what do? We quit going to church. You're idiots. If you're backslidden, you need to go to church. We're backslidden, so we quit reading the Bible. Hey, we're backslidden, so we quit praying. We're angry, so we talk our way into being angrier. I'm mad. Let me tell you why I'm mad. I remember that story about the fellow ran out of gas out in the country, out in the desert area, nearest service station, 2 miles. He walked, had to walk 2 miles to the service station. He got thinking on the way. He said, that guy knows. He'll know when I get there. I'm tired. He'll know I'm out of gas. He'll also know that I've walked a long ways. And he'll know there's no other service station here, near here. And he'll know that I've got to have the gas. So he'll double the price on me, or triple it, or quadruple it, or make it a big, big price. He'll probably sell me the can too. And he said, the guy's going to take advantage of me. I know he is. I know it. I know it. By the time he got 2 miles to the service station, he punched the attendant in the nose and said, take your old gasoline. And that's the way you are. We dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper when the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things. What does that mean? He's talking about being content. He said, I know if I'm bereaved and a heartache or a burden, I know myself. I know the recipe. I know the prescription to get me out of the doldrums. And I know, and the trouble is, you don't know yourself. You don't study yourself. I'll bind you. I'll bind you. I've got enough things today. If I didn't know myself and know what I need when I need it, I could quit everything. I could ditch it all. I'll bind you that. But let me tell you something. No enemy is going to destroy my joy. They don't make them like that. They don't make them that way. My joy came from Him who is my joy and the source of joy. And I know what I need. He made me, and He gave me the wherewithal within myself to be content, the wherewithal to be on the top side, and I'm going to find myself out, learn myself, study myself, and know myself. I'm not going to live my life down the doldrums all the time. I know what pulls me out. For example, sometimes I get bogged down in a sermon. You've been there many times with me. In fact, you're what bogged me down. Boy, I'll be in my study sometimes. You have this mic. I'll be in my study sometimes. I'll be about ready to preach. I'm preaching on heaven, maybe. Boy, I'll walk out that door ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Man alive, here I go. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Preaching on heaven. Glory to God. Hey! Preaching on hell this morning. But if I get in the middle of a sermon and get bogged down, I know how to get unbogged. I got 12 things that always inspire me. Never fail. Never fail me. 12 things. One's a cheese quarter pounder. But I've got, by the way, I've got them written down. And in my preaching Bible, I've got them written down in the fly leaf of my Bible. If I'm somewhere preaching, and all of a sudden I can't get with it, I just turn over here and grab one of those illustrations that always challenge me, and I'll use one of them and get out of it. In fact, I'm bogged down right now. Let me look over here and see what I've got. I just want to reach out and grab you and shake you and say, you don't have to be that way if you don't want to. You've got to learn yourself. You've got to know yourself. When you're down, you've got to give yourself an upper. I'll sell it, but anyway. You got to know yourself. All of us have bad days. God, Paul said in the first place, he said, I know how not to have a bad day, but sometimes all of a sudden it'll sneak up on me. I have a bad day. And so Paul said, not only do I know myself enough to know how to have a good day and not have a bad day, but he said, if I do make a mistake, have a bad day, he said, bless God, I know myself enough to know how to get out of it. When I'm discouraged and lonely in a motel room, and I've been that way hundreds of times in these years, I know what to do to get out of my discouragement. When I'm loaded with burdens, I know what to do to get out of it. Now you say, preacher, hold it. You've been preaching 44 years. You've made a study of this. I never have. What can I do till I get my study made? What can I do until I find out how I can have a good day if I want to, or if I'm having a bad day, how to get out of it, how to ward it off or get out of it? How can I do it? Here's how you do it. You find somebody that knows how and do what they say. I preached a sermon here 3 or 4 years ago, one of the most important sermons ever preached in the history of this church. What to do when your decision maker is broken. You borrow somebody else's decision maker. If my car is not running, I'm going to hitchhike. Or I'll try to borrow your car. If my decision maker is not working, I'll try to borrow yours. But here's what you do. You get down to the bottom. You get blue, discouraged, and defeated. And right while you're there, you make a decision. Years ago, I promised God I would never resign the church while it was down. Never would. I pastored 5 churches. All 4 of them, when I left, they were on topside. Now, there were times they were not on topside. There were times we had little times of recession. But I would not leave then. I refused to make the... I know guys that get lonesome, so they marry the first woman they see. You get discouraged, so you make the decision that will change your life. You get discouraged, some of you students get discouraged and leave college. I'm saying, if you don't know yourself, find somebody that does know how to get you out of the doldrums and let them help you. I'm not brilliant, but I'm not dumb either. I love that old story. I hardly ever tell jokes in the pulpit. I see humorous things, but I love that old story about the guys driving down past the insane asylum. You've heard it. The Bible tells me I'm supposed to remind you of things. But you've heard it. The guy's driving down past the insane asylum. He had a flat. Got out to change the flat. Took the way on the lugs, bolts, lugs. Took the lugs off. They slid down, fell in the creek. And there he was. The car, the tire wheel was off the car. Lugs in the creek. Guy tire ready to put the tire, spare tire on, no lugs. The guy didn't know what in the world to do. And one of the inmates of the asylum was looking out the fence, you know. He said, hey, fella, why don't you take a lug off each other of the 3 wheels and put them on that one? And then you can get to a service station. And the guy said, brilliant. He said, I thought you were crazy. And yes, I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid. You're stupid. You have the wherewithal to be happy all the time. You can get up every morning and say, good morning, good morning. Another new day is dawning. A happy, cheery, bright good morning will last you all the day long if you want to. But it doesn't just happen. And I don't like the word happiness. Happiness means whatever happens to you that's good makes you happy. If it's bad, makes you unhappy. I like the word joy better. You can manufacture joy. You cannot manufacture happiness. So why don't you decide to know yourself? Why don't you decide to find out what makes you on top side? Why don't you decide to find out what happened? You had a good day. Look, it's pitiful. We're ignorant. We're stupid. We get down, and what do? We get downer. There's something about us that makes us want to get more down when we get down. And you said, Brother Hiles, I don't know what... Well, ask me. I'll tell you. Ask me. I'll tell you what will make you happy. I'll tell you what will keep you on top side. I can tell you how you can keep from the doldrums. I can tell you how you can get out of the doldrums if you get into them. Paul said, I've learned. What does it mean? I've made a study of it. I studied it. The word learned there means I studied. I learned. I studied and learned. I learned myself. Paul said, I've learned how to be in the dungeon of a Mamertine prison in Rome and be on top. But Paul, how do you do it? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, Brother Hiles, what's this got to do with Easter? Not one solitary thing. But in order to make it look like an Easter sermon, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you another title. How to make every day a special day. How to make every day a special day. A lot of you are going to have a good day today. You've already had a good day. I've ruined it, but other than this, you've already had a good day. All right, then why don't you next Sunday do what you did today? Huh? Look, you know how you feel when you're reading the morning paper at 11 o'clock. You know exactly how you feel. You feel terrible. Why don't you make another Easter next Sunday? That's what I do. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, every day can be a happy day and every spot of ground can be holy ground. And every day can be a holy day and every day can be a holiday. If you know how. And the way you do it, Paul said. Now wait, when Paul first got saved, he didn't know this. He learned it. How'd he learn it? He learned himself. He got to know himself. Hey, I walk up to an ice cream store. The other day I was driving from East Texas. I had a hard time staying awake. I know myself. I know what can keep me awake. Eating. That's preaching. So I stopped at an ice cream store. Now I know what my favorite is. I'm not going to tell you because I'll have 50 of them before dark. But I know what ice cream I like best. I know what ice cream makes me feel better. So I bought me a pint of it. A pint. And I got it real hard, so I'd have to dig it out at first, chisel it out at first. And I stayed awake. When I got sleepy again, there's this second ice cream store. Life is so much less complicated than you make it. If you'll get a tape of this sermon and play it over and over again, you'll cancel all your psychologist appointments. You'll not have to go to the psychologist. All you've got to do is get to know yourself and know what gets you up and know what gets you down and avoid what gets you down and do what gets you up. And if you get down in spite of it, then know how to get out of it, what gets you out of it. And by the grace of God, you can believe with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that way, every day can be a happy day. You see, Brother Hiles, Doesn't traveling get you discouraged sometimes? Yes, it does. But I know how to get out of it. I know what gets me out of it. If I get lonely in my hotel room, you think I'm going to stay in there by myself? No way. I get out and take a walk. I find some old guy spitting and whittling on the sidewalk. Some of the most intelligent people in the world do that. That's why they're not doing nothing but spitting and whittling while you're worrying yourself sick over how to make a living. And I stop and I talk with him, chat with him. Some of the best conversations I have are with some old codger there chewing tobacco and spitting it out and whittling on a stick. Before I know it, I'm not lonely anymore. What do? You get in bed and pull the covers over your head. I'm lonely. Lonely. I'm lonely. Well, there's some people down the street. Go find them. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No secret in life any greater. No truth of the Christian life any greater. Now, it starts off with Jesus. Starts off with salvation. Starts off with properly relating yourself with Christ. It starts off with accepting Christ as your Savior and knowing that if you died, you go to heaven. And when that happens, Apostle Paul said, I've studied myself, I've learned and I've learned and I've studied and I've studied until where he said, I know how to ward off when I see a bad day coming, when I see melancholy coming, I see anger coming, I see backsliding coming, I ward it off. I know how to do it. I know how to get it. I ward it off. Then he said, but if I do accidentally fail to ward it off, I also studied some more. I studied to know how to get out of it. This week I was in East Texas. We're in the first apartment we ever lived in. We pastored a little church up in the country. I'm going to close with this. And we used to drive 100 miles every Sunday morning, sometimes every Saturday night, up to our little country church. The last 3 miles were dirt, black dirt, muddy road. Now, I knew how to stay in those ruts. I knew how to get there. You stay in the ruts. I knew exactly how to get there. But if I got out of the ruts, I knew exactly how to get back in. Mrs. Hiles would get out and push. And I would drive and gun it. And you know how that left her. You say, why didn't you get out and push and let her drive? I'd have gotten muddy. But I knew how to get back in the rut. And by the grace of God, I know how to get out of the ruts in life. And Paul said, you can know too. Go home, know yourself, and realize that in Christ you can do all things. And all things applies to what Paul was just talking about. Our Heavenly Father, I want to keep on going.